Okay.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch. Welcome, everyone. As always, great to have you here. Today, we're going to talk about a subject that is going to help you out individually, as well as within your family, for your kids, for your husband, for your loved ones. You know, I have a lot of people who come into my office and say, how can I make more quality time and moments and just get closer in general to my family? And, you know, I give them a lot of general psychological suggestions, activities, things that we can do, you know, to help out the family. And of course, the most important thing is to, for me, to just love those children and be on the same page with your husband or your partner, whoever that may be, whoever you're raising the child with and the children with. And not only that, but just to show love and allow your child to really discover who they are and, you know, have their own mind so they can find out who they are as individuals in their souls. And today, my special guest is the author of a book. You like the way I led into that, guys? It's called Soul to Soul Parenting. It's a great book. Her name is Annie Burnside, and she's been doing this for quite a long time, over 20 years ago. Annie started her own personal growth journey. She has a master's degree in education from DePaul University, teaching fourth and fifth graders, and that's a lot of fun, too. A lot of people started seeking her out as a teacher, inviting her to give lectures and workshops, and she created a spiritual support practice back in 2005. And this is Annie's first book, but wow, went way and beyond what I have read about in a lot of psychological books about parenting. And, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful read, and it's a comfortable read for you, too. So let me pull her up on the line. Annie, welcome to the show today. So nice to have you.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. I love being on the couch, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it will be a lot of fun, I think. And nice to have you here. I really did enjoy reading your book. It was amazing. I mean, you really touch on a lot of wonderful things in parenting and also, you know, kind of tap into the source, you know, mm-hmm. of the kids and yourself and explore a wonderful journey together. What I also like, it's a great workbook. You have a lot of tools in there that can help families out and individuals as well. So,
well, thank you. You know, it really poured on out. This is my fourth baby. I didn't even know anything really about writing a book. Didn't even think I'd necessarily become an author. And so this book really comes straight from the heart and from what we do in our own family. So thank you for recognizing that.
Oh, absolutely. Let's get started here and share with the listeners some of the things in your life that have really inspired you to write this book. It's called Soul to Soul Parenting, A Guide to Raising a Spiritually Conscious Family.
You know, but I'll start with Soul to Soul, the title. In my mind, in my heart, and now it is a very felt experience, it's actually soul to soul rather than role to role. So it's not really parent to child. Yes, there is that role, but simultaneously, if you allow it, there's the larger perspective of who the parent is and who the child is, mm-hmm. and it's soul to soul. Mm. Likewise, it's not really lawyer to client, doctor to patient, cashier to customer.
Yeah.
And we can at first begin to train ourselves intellectually to understand soul to soul versus role to role,
mm-hmm.
with the hope that we eventually can drop into the feeling space. And I will give you an example of my first really conscious soul-to-soul experience, although I was deep, reflective child. That probably won't surprise you after reading my book. But
I can tell.
Yes. I was walking. I live in outside of Chicago near Northwestern University, and
yeah.
I was walking along several years ago, beautiful day, and I happened to look over at a lawn care worker.
Hmm.
And I have to tell you, Dr. Michelle, in this spontaneous moment, I dropped in to a space of oneness that I had never fully experienced before.
Wow.
My entire body was waves of energy going up and down. My eyes pricked with tears. There was a real breathless feeling in my diaphragm area,
wow.
and my entire scalp was tingling.
Wow.
And I didn't share one word with him. As I observed him, I could feel
yes.
our oneness.
Yes.
Our same divine nature that we shared, nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
A tremendous feeling of love. And since then, I drop into that space quite frequently at the grocery store, watching two boys walk down the street while I'm driving
yes.
in my car in the most ordinary places.
Yes.
And so that was really, this book really stems from that, soul to soul. And if
wow.
we can move into that, we change our life, our children's lives. Not that anything needs changing, but we can certainly enhance what it means to be in this human body in this way.
So did this just sort of take you over, or were you thinking about this individual's life or just watching this person and all of a sudden became one? Or, you know,
it was very spontaneous,
yes.
but I have been on the self-exploratory path, a pathway, you know, what I think spirituality is, a journey through your own interior where your heart deepens and your perspectives
yes.
expand. Since I was 19, when my parents went through, at the time, a very difficult, uncomfortable divorce,
aww, yeah.
it cracked me open. And as
aww.
I'm sure you know in your work, woo, that's an opportunity
oh, yeah.
for tremendous growth. And since that point, it was a catalyst, and I've had many other catalysts
right.
Along the way, but that was
aww.
Kind of my first major one where I began to look at myself, listen to the voice of my soul, and I became very interested in what's often left unseen and sometimes untalked about in mainstream society, although that's changing greatly.
Yes,
so, yes, I had been on this self-exploratory path for sure, and a great seeking, a longing for my soul and for connection, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a really cool story. I recall when I was probably 12 years old, I was with my mom at a shopping center nearby where I grew up, and I saw this gentleman who was disabled selling pencils, of all
mm-hmm.
things, outside a drugstore. And I looked into his eyes. He was an older man and had a really similar experience,
mm-hmm.
just completely connected and felt his, I don't know, almost took on his suffering in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I shut down, got really quiet, loved him, just loved him within myself. And I didn't tell my mom because I thought she'd think I was really weird. I didn't know what happened. Came home and just went in bed and wept. I just
yes.
wept.
There's a weeping of joy
yes.
at the shared
yes.
Divinity, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about the attributes of a spiritually conscious family. Now, a lot of listeners may think, whoa, she's a really religious person. She's pushing a religion here. But that's not what you're doing, right, Annie?
No, actually, I'm not a religious person. I'm
yeah.
very open to all religions. This is more about the universal soul perspective, I would say, and it can enhance a religion if you're in one.
Yeah.
More probably the mystical aspects, the oneness of, I would say, all major religions, and really bringing that into our daily reality. I think it's time. You know, it's 2013,
yeah.
and I think there's a missing piece in our world today, and we look to solve it economically and educationally or even religiously sometimes, and I think it's this consciousness piece
yes.
that needs to come, just from my perspective, more to the forefront, that who we really are, we are eternal intuitive,
yes,
creative, spiritual beings,
mm-hmm,
and to really not make that something that we just talk about even on Sundays, if then, but a part of our everyday.
Mm. That's a great answer, and it's true. So when you talk about spiritual, can you give us a little bit more what you mean by that? I mean, I know we all, and our own individual souls.
Yes, I would say I like to call it direct divine connection.
Ah.
You know, to me, life is spiritual, the life that flows through all of us, that mm-hmm flows through all things, that unfolds moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
So being very present to that. And for me, it's very simultaneous. Like, yes, I'm a human being, and I love to go to Cubs games, and I love
yeah
to dance, and I love tonight we're going to have pizza and red wine with my husband and my kids, and we'll share a movie or whatever. I mean, it's very much that embodiment.
Mm.
But simultaneously, I now know myself to be
mm-hmm
part of God, you know, a part of the oneness, very much a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not separate from me. So that just becomes, and it's ongoing. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm in and out of the woods with it, but more and more it's become sustained,
mm-hmm,
where I see the world through that lens, more mm through my soul rather than just Annie, the personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be able to at least open the door for my children to begin to, we'll maybe call it illuminate, self-realize, awaken themselves
yes
in that way, knowing
yes
that it's a lifelong process.
Right.
But I thought, you know what better place than in this own nest to let them know that it's possible for them, that it's who they really are, mm-hmm, and that it's okay.
That's wonderful, because you are allowing them to be who they are and appreciating and helping them bring out, as individuals, what they desire within their soul, so as to speak, right?
Yes, it's very much about comfortability within their own skin, what they're in our own skin. And 90% to me, the work of soul-to-soul parenting, while I offer activities and movies and books
yeah
and things to do with children in my book, I wanted that to be part of it. But really 90% is the parent committing to their own wholeness.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, whether it's traditional therapy, whether it's channeling, I'm a big outside of the box gal,
right,
you know, Watsu
right
water therapy, but really
yeah
connecting to the soul in any way that they can, healing old emotional wounds so that they can live more authentically. And if they can mirror that back to their children,
right,
they're living true, then that is the greatest gift that they can offer their children.
Oh, that's
so that's
beautiful.
Really the work. It's really the parents' work,
right,
and a shift in core belief about who we are.
Right, right. And folks out there listening, you know, by the way, in case you just tuned in, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Annie Burnside. She has written a book called Soul to Soul Parenting. It's a guide to raising a spiritually conscious family. It's not about, you know, religion, or if you have a religion and all, good, wonderful, beautiful. But this is really about, you know, helping your children, helping your whole family. A lot of it is about love. And it's not about, as some of my listeners would say, airy-fairy, woo, metaphysics. It's about who we truly are. We
mm-hmm
we all have an identity. We all, not an ego identity, but we all have a soul and a connection with whoever our higher power is. And we all must find within ourselves what brings us joy on this earth. And it's so true. We can't be whole and, you know, self-productive, loving human beings unless we do find that.
Yes, and if you don't mind, I'll bring home an example with one of my own children, because I
great
really like to do what I call, like, bring this down to Central Street for people. Like,
I love that.
My middle daughter, Piper, she's now almost 15 in
wow
2 days. And my old other one's 16, and my little boy's 12. So just people have an idea, you know, where I am right
yes
in the thick of it, just like you all, if your parents are listening.
Very cute.
Yes. But she, you know, had a lot of separation. I think it was just energetically even hard to be, you know, at a big birthday party with lots of energy coming at her. And
yeah
we really respected that. So
right
with Piper, we made some different choices. And there was a period, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. This is almost unheard of on the North Shore of Chicago where I live. But
yeah
she did not do one extracurricular activity. She came home from school and
oh
she loved just the downtime at home. She would do her homework, do family stuff. Right. Now she's in ninth grade, and she's choosing for herself to run track. She horseback rides.
Yes.
She's doing a service trip to St. Croix this summer, which is a big deal for her.
Mm.
But that's just an example. You know, that was a little bit hard for my ego at times, but everyone else is doing stuff, and,
yes.
and Piper does nothing. She just goes to school.
Right,
but to give parents permission, it really is okay.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to force them to be busy all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to offer that as an example of something that I had to kind of be okay with and wrestle with.
No, that's a great example, Annie. I thank you so much for sharing that and sort of letting the listeners take a peek into your life as well. I do talk to a lot of parents who come in, and they really kind of push their egos onto their children in terms of how they want their children to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all want them to be healthy and happy, productive citizens in the world, and to, you know, have loving relationships so we can kind of let them get out of the nest comfortably and be wonderful,
mm-hmm.
happy, self-sufficient adults. But, you know, what is the line between encouraging your child to find, you know, who they are and their own identity and joy, and keeping them sort of in line with society, keeping
yes.
them, you know, you've got to go to school. You've got to learn how to study. You've got to, you know, try and, you know, participate in these social activities.
Yes.
What's the line?
I think there is a bit of a fine line. I think this is not all about free-for-all parenting, you know,
yeah.
while we're connected to the soul-to-soul perspective, of course we know in this moment, in this reality, there's a parent-child relationship as well.
Sure.
But I really do feel if we really can observe our children from a young age of where do their eyes sparkle? Where do their lips unknowingly curl into a smile? Where do they
right.
show through their whole body their
right.
being enthusiasm,
right.
openness, lightness,
yes.
joy? Like, these are the types of things that, as a parent, it really is observation
yes.
That can, I think, help us help them to make decisions mm-hmm. that are right for them. We'll have our children get quiet and
right.
feel their way to a
yes.
decision.
Yeah.
And just help guide them in that. And
mm-hmm.
they often say, I feel a pit in my stomach. We use our body a lot. I feel
yeah.
dread moving
yes.
in this direction, even if it's just to a degree, it makes me feel lighter.
Sure.
And then that's usually we say, I think you got your answer.
Oh,
so
wow.
as they get older, we really allow them to captain their own ship a bit more with guidance and how you feel your way to an answer.
Yeah, that's so true. How would a parent get started down this path to try to start really helping their children learn who they are and what they are and yet, you know.
Well, I would say really if this sounds kind of new to a parent, there's so much out there today. The first step is the parent going down the path themselves mm-hmm. to know themselves better,
mm-hmm.
to come to feel more intimacy with their own soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that, without speaking one word in the family, will change the energy in the home as the parent becomes more whole. I can't stress that enough. So that's the first step. And then have the courage, as you're learning, it's very simultaneous to spiritual development. If you're learning how to trust your vibes because you just heard of a great workshop or read a book that I love called Trust Your Vibes by Sonia Choquette or something like
mm-hmm.
that, instead of just keeping it as your own personal growth, attempt to offer it to the family at dinner,
mm,
you know,
yes.
or whenever. We have family discussions. I have visual cues around our house. I mean, there are very specific vehicles that you can do as well. So the
right.
whole family is being exposed to trust your vibes
right.
instead of just it's my own personal growth path, which
right.
I think sometimes happens. I have a lot of people say, oh, I never really thought to offer it to my
wow,
children.
Sure.
And that's really what the book is about. Like, oh, by all means, share your excitement. Or I went to a medical intuitive
yeah.
and you wouldn't believe we worked on, you know, what was behind my LCR, L-tear.
Mm.
There's some emotion behind that. What was the root? And kind of share those processes within the family.
Wow. So it's not, you know, like shoving these things down a family or a kid's throat. It's saying, I found out the coolest thing today. I want you guys to hear this. I think this would be great for you to just, you know, share in this experience with me. So a parent needs to become a little more whole first in order to share these things, as you just said. How can they do that, though? What are some of the steps that a parent can do
Well, goodness, first of all, I want to say, I think in 2013, the old route has been, many dark nights of the soul and some, suffering and really looking at those, what some people call inner thorns and your shadow. And I've done a lot of that.
Yes.
And, whenever I've had a health issue, I get it. I look at it on the physical level, but I'm always seeking the emotional root. I think that's very, very important. That's been a big part of my path and my work. Mm-hmm. However, I also want to say I'm really getting the feeling I run a lot of soul-to-soul circles and different women with different women, and it's becoming more and more apparent to me that it is possible to move in this direction much faster.
Yes.
We're really, once you remember who you really are, this presence opens up behind who you've always just known yourself to be, the limited perspective Annie Burnside that might live for 85 years or something. And because collectively so many of us are moving and are awakening essentially in that direction, I think it's going to be a lot faster for a lot of people. In other words, I don't think you have to go through 20 years of seeking and, therapy nonstop. It doesn't have to be done that way.
Wow, that's so true. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Annie Burnside. She's the author of the book Soul to Soul Parenting. It's a guide to raising a spiritually conscious family. And again, if you have a religion or a religious connotation connected, of course, indeed. But this is about spirituality and getting in touch with your higher power and loving and all those wonderful things that are incorporated into almost every religion as well. But this really stresses a parenting, from a loving, spiritual, soulful place. And it's great, Annie, because it also gets parents a chance to sort of peek into their own psychological stuff and, not project their negative fears onto their children.
Definitely. I mean, that's that half of the path. At first, I was all, when I was 19, I was falling in love with more like the lighter aspect of the path. I'm spirit and I'm connected.
Yeah.
But boy, I'm sure you can agree with your work.
Yeah.
Eventually, the part of the path that I had neglected and resisted for many years was to look into my own emotional landscape and to do the work to free myself of wounds and things I was holding on to. And that continues. The healing is never fully done. There's always, going to be something. And I utilize the outside world for that. If I'm pricked by something occurring in the outside world, my almost immediate thought now is an understanding that it's that I'm pricked because there's an unhealed aspect within me, and it becomes more exciting. Let's get in there. Let's heal that. I'm not as afraid of the truth of what lurks inside anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's neat. And facing our fears is what helps overcome many issues. We know we're not going, if we face our fears and kind of understand our past and some of the old messages we bought into about ourselves, which weren't very positive, and try to discover and sort of really like and try to love who we are, we can show our children that. It's by, explanation. It's by modeling, all those things, too, which are wonderful. Let's talk about some of the general hallmarks of soul-to-soul parenting. What are those, Annie?
Well, I think a big one is, we circle back to this again and again in our family, is this idea of things are not really either or. They're much more and both. Life is full in this dimension in which we live, the human dimension of paradox.
Yes.
We are human and we are spirit. A term paper was exhausting and it was empowering. So you can really, as you see where I'm going with this, pull this out of everything in life. And I call it peace in the paradox.
Yes.
Many of us try and make things black, white, either or, right, wrong. And I have just find that, everything, there's oneness, that everything shares the same space. It depends on how you look at it. So we talk about multiple perspectives, first of all the time in our family, that multiple perspectives share the same space. And, kids come home with an issue with a friend. We do role play. We talk about that their lens is accurate for them. It's not wrong. And really try and work with that. That doesn't mean you don't speak your truth. That doesn't mean that your lens is not valid. So that's a big one. And then just always trying to open to that larger perspective. We use the example, it depends on how you look at it. You know, you could look at your finger and just what the finger does, or your hand, or your whole body, or your whole neighborhood, or you know, how far out you want to go until eventually there's really only one of us in the room. So always we try and expand that perspective for ourselves and with our children to bring in that oneness, because it is available moment to moment, day to day, and not just for a monk on a mountaintop. That's really the point. You know, it's right here in your own backyard when you're at Dominic's, or that's our local Safeway. Can you bring in oneness?
Yes.
You know, when you're at your son's baseball game, can you actually drop into that space? And it changes everything as far as how you relate to other people, what you let get stuck as something that someone did you wrong, victimhood. It really changes a lot.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you also, you know, you talk about, you know, modeling certain things and certain activities to, you know, focus on soul-to-soul parenting. And you talk about the weekly family discussion and visual cues, as you mentioned earlier. You know, some of the spiritual signs and the intuitive gratitude journal, which are wonderful ways of teaching children how to be grateful for what they have and using their imagination, and also, you know, meditation and all. A lot of people think meditation's, you know, a chore or difficult. And, you know, you talk a lot about how it helps you, and you teach families to meditate. They think, you know, it's, you have to sit sedentary, like you talked about the monk, you know.
Yes.
You talk about the active meditation and just kind of tuning in, and that it's not hard to do at all. Can you talk about that?
Yes. You know, I am not some, I've taken formal meditation classes and I've done some of that, but I look at much more powerful pauses throughout my day and our children's day, incorporating solitude, stillness, which could be time in my backyard, just being with the big oak tree and petting my little Shih Tzu poodle, which I love, my little Mia, or my walks. I would say solitude in our busy world is any type is more important than just necessarily the form of meditation. So in other words, the tendency is for a lot of us, you know, I'm a mom here with, you know, you want to walk with a friend and chat the whole way. And that can be fun for sure. I mean, I have a lot of friends and I do enjoy that. But the further I've gone down this path, I like time with my soul. So I like to walk and put that face of mine up towards the sun and literally pull in spirit and connect. Or I bike ride a lot along, I love water, along beautiful Lake Michigan. I have different places that I stop depending on how much time I have. And so I like to play with my own spirit more than I ever did before. So to me, that's my meditation. So I would encourage that in children as well. I think, you know, we're just so focused on productivity and busyness, and there's a place for that. But in families, I think we could all benefit from more powerful pause.
Wow, is that true? And it is just being in the now, basically. It's just, and if people have a hard time pulling into the concept of meditation, you know, just be in the now and look at what you're seeing, like you said, around you right now. What are you seeing? Beautiful trees, water. I don't know. You're sitting in an office. What are you seeing? You seeing people's faces? You know,
there are many teachers now, which I really agree with, and I espouse this more and more now too. Sometimes if we get too caught up in how it should look, even on this spiritual path, the rituals, the meditation, you just, you don't even see what's right in front of you. There are many that I know of that I really appreciate, different teachers out there, that what's their spiritual practice? They don't have one. Brushing their teeth is a spiritual practice. Combing their hair, being that present of just what this, the awe and the sacredness of what it is to be consciously spirit embodied, is enough. Being yourself is enough. You know, so I hope that that's something that I express to my own children as well. There's not one way to do it. There are millions and millions of paths up the mountaintop.
Right.
You know, follow where you feel the most open.
Right.
To source.
It's so true. And you know, so many psychologists have done studies and psychiatrists and scientists on how we are hypnotized much of the day.
Yes,
because we go
yes.
into that automatic alpha state or something where, you know, we do things that are just come naturally, like riding the bike or whatever. So we're driving our cars here in crazy Southern California, and most of the people are hypnotized because they take the same route. They, you know, they do the same things. They get out and, you know, kind of pulling out of that state of mind and being in a conscious, wait a minute, breathe the air. What am I doing? I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the sky and I'm looking at the cars in front of me and there's people around me. Everyone has their own, you know, I mean, there really is an important thing that we can do for our minds. And I know this is what you're saying too, to be in the now and to be aware of what's going on around you, pulling out of that hypnosis.
Yeah.
Same old
and that's,
thing. You know?
That's the spiritual process, really, is becoming a witness
yes.
to that thinking that isn't you.
Right.
You know, you're behind that. Mm. But the vastness of who you are is not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you begin to witness yourself getting caught in that monkey mind or the twirling.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really a first step. That's a beautiful first step. And you recognize it.
Mm-hmm. You talk about so many concepts that I share with listeners on the air, Louise Hay, you know, Eckhart Tolle, Abraham, you know, all those concepts. And really, they are similar in many ways, but they're just said, you know, differently by these enlightened people. One of my favorite books is Louise's You Can Heal Your Life.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. We do a lot of work with this beautiful body of ours and helping kids really through our example and through teaching them to create a relationship with their body.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I mean, if you have a broken wrist, yes, go get it set. But look to see where you're not flexible in your own life and actually take the time to sit and touch and appreciate and acknowledge the cells that make up that wrist that enable you to pick up a plate.
Yes.
You know, just that, that's been a big part of my process and what I hope to offer our children, an intimacy with their own body. And that can be the doorway, and then suddenly you drop into the intimacy with the soul, too. They're very, very connected, I have found,
really
from my experience.
Boy, I agree with you. They really are connected. And, you know, just sort of finding things. Also, activities we love to keep our bodies in shape. You know, this whole thing about exercise and health is so important, especially within our children. And as we get older, as adults. But, you know, encouraging that it's a fun thing. It's not like you have to jog. You have to go to the gym. And you have to be on the or you have to participate in this sport, even though you don't like it. You know, it's sort of encouraging them.
Mm-hmm. Helping them to create lists. I just turned, I'll be 43 this summer, and I've become very clear on the types of movement and activities that my soul enjoys.
Mm.
And it's walking, it's biking, it's paddleboarding. Mm-hmm. I don't happen to like Bikram yoga, or I don't happen to like running, or, you know, and I like kayaking. I tend to like some of the more slower paced things. And I got to tell you, Dr. Michelle, the top priority for me is to do it for the joy. And then the physicalness of it, of course it's there, and that's become icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I desire for my kids. Do it for the joy.
Yes.
And then the body will reap the benefits of that.
Boy, is that true. I think so many people a model for their children because they are working hard and they have to, you know, provide for the family. There's so many couples who both work and, you know, sometimes they get into this have-tos mindset. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. Which, of course, includes chores, and we sort of have to so we can have a nice, clean environment and we can function and we have to go shopping and we have, you know, things like that. How do you encourage parents to, you know, walk the fine line between have-tos and find what's really fun to do and enjoy yourself?
Well, I think, you know, some people think, oh, is this going to add more to my parenting plate? And to me, it really doesn't, especially the more it becomes just integrated. But there is a shift in priority. There's a shift a little bit in what we focus upon and deem as important.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just use an example. Like, I mean, all of, you know, we're a busy family of five. My husband's a high school teacher, a varsity soccer coach. My, you know, my kids are in some different things.
Sure.
But I'll just give an example. It's the random example kind of, but I don't, you know, our Costco is kind of not
right.
that close here.
Sure, sure.
And I don't really enjoy it. I don't really like the vibe of it. I don't like going in and buying huge things of stuff. It's just not my style.
Right.
So that's not something that I do. Most of my friends do it. I don't. And I'm okay with that.
Right.
Like if you really look at your life and prioritize, there are many, many things that have become ingrained as, like you just said, a have to.
Yes.
When there really aren't that many things that
yes.
are a have to.
Right.
We don't have to say no to every birthday party that our child gets invited to.
Yes.
I, you know, socially, more and more, I've done less and less.
Yeah.
I really know. I feel a yes and I feel a no. So if you get a yes or a no from me, it's going to be my truth.
Oh,
and that's
my.
What I really desire from other
yeah.
people.
Yes.
I, you know, the people pleasing eventually must come to an end on this path. And I don't want anyone to people please for my sake. I want
yes.
their truth.
Yes.
You know, and when that becomes acknowledged, there's a lot more space created in an everyday life.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I agree with you. By the way, you're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today. Her name is Annie Burnside. She's the author of the book Soul to Soul Parenting, A Guide to Raising a Spiritually Conscious Family. It's a lovely book, and it's has a lot of work pages for you, not work in a negative place, but in a really explore fun things to do, encouraging things like family rituals, imagination, you know, meditation, music, inspirational movies. What can you share with your kids in terms of books that they'll understand, or art, or, you know, cranking up the joy for them, all those wonderful things that Annie suggests that you can learn. This is a great parenting book. This is not, as many of my listeners, like I said earlier, write in and say, oh, another airy-fairy book about woo. No, this is hands-on, loving, caring, and a lot of psychological concepts, which, you know, really help us raise our children and
mm-hmm.
and help them become healthier people. To know who they are and their own identity, and teaching them wonderful, loving concepts that, you know, they can live by and pass on to other people in their world. So it's
and
great.
I say use your own language. You
yes.
know, some people like the airy-fairy or the woo-woo,
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, I use the term spirit. It happens
right.
to rock my world. But my
yeah,
husband, we'll have a family discussion, and, oh, Michelle, I mean, he is
yeah.
like, okay, kids, that was mom's, you know, way to say it, and we love
right.
that. But let me tell you, you're
right.
on a soccer field, and
yeah.
I just
oh,
say, bravo,
huge.
Baby, bravo.
That's right.
You know, that's kind of the point of it. Like, let it come through each of us, how it comes through
yeah.
the truth.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. You know, I had the opportunity several weeks ago to see Eckhart Tolle. He's spoken. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard. It was they had the Gate Organizations Gathering, that nonprofit thing here in Southern California. And in your book, you talk about how he says non-resistance, non-judgment, and non-attachment are the three aspects of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you elaborate more on that and how parents can practice that within themselves and then pass it along to their children?
Yes. Well, first of all, when you begin to see and feel yourself as infinite, eternal,
yes.
vast, beyond measure,
yes.
you come to the realization that from a human perspective, it can appear that you've been harmed, it can appear that you've died, but that quickly disintegrates into that's not actually possible. So
yes.
that large perspective, once again, and even children can begin to understand this. Like, I actually have conversations with, and, you know, union with dead people sometimes. It's
yeah.
just, that's how I am. I've opened that gateway. I love it. It's ecstasy.
Yes.
But here's something that we've just been talking about in Soul to Soul Circle this morning that I think will bring it home for a lot of people. I've actually created a visual cue. There is this couple that a woman in Soul to Soul Circle knew growing up, and they had not studied any of this metaphysics or Eckhart Tolle or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But they responded to life differently. It was much more neutrally, just naturally. For example, their basement or their kitchen flooded one day.
Yeah.
And this girl at age 8 was over there with her parents. They were neighbors. And their response was, how about that?
Yes.
Instead of, oh my gosh, and, you know, and taking everything so literally and rigidly. Or their daughter gets married. How
yes.
about that?
Yes, yes.
Or their son breaks an ankle and his spring baseball season is ruined.
Yes.
How about that? So there's a much, you know, and it sounds kind of, this kind of brings it out of airy-fairy, but if you can move into that space and really feel it, letting life unfold as it does, because you are totally safe. You cannot ever be harmed, even though it might be perceived that you are. How about that becomes much more of a possibility as a way to live?
Wow.
And so to me, that's what Eckhart means by that. How about that?
Wow.
You allow life to unfold without being so attached to it unfolding the way you think it should, because you can't control it.
That's
so it really opens a lot of space.
Yeah.
So I found that to be, and a lot of the women that I'm working with, for some reason, they really have gotten that. It's brought it home for them in a way that, how about that? My passport's expired and I'm going on a trip in 24 hours.
Wow.
It doesn't mean you don't act.
Yeah.
Of course, you would, you know, get on the internet and start 24-hour passport places.
Right, exactly.
But to fight reality does you no good.
Yes. You know, and it's like you're the observer. Wow.
Yes.
And then on a deeper level, how did I bring that one into my life? And what is the lesson I need to learn? Why do I need to learn this? You know, I have clients who say to me sometimes, you know, okay, I've been through so much. Please help me out now. Why? What do I need to learn now? Why was I born into this family? Why was I, you know, why was I subject to all these problems and all that? Feel so bad.
I don't know about for you, but for me now, I think, because I'm very attuned to it, when I'm stuck on something that I can't release, life immediately lets me know. I was kind of stuck on a prick a couple weekends ago, and our kitchen sink literally clogged for no reason for 3 hours the entire period of time.
That was your fault,
stuck.
Annie. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, and it wasn't until I walked to the pantry and let it go. My husband, we had tried everything to get this unclogged. We called expensive plumbers on a Saturday. And I walked to the pantry, and in my heart, I let it go, and he had started the dishwasher. I kid you not, we heard this, and it unclogged. Like, that's how, like, you begin to connect the dots, and my physical reality shows me immediately when I'm stuck, because I'll go out to my car, and the battery's going to be dead, I guarantee it.
Yeah, girl, that's right. That's so right.
It's kind of fun when you look at it that way, like, here we go. Where am I clogged? Because my sink is clogged,
Oh, my goodness, that is so funny, Annie. I do have a lot of emails that have come in, and I encourage people to email me here on the show, my regulars a lot of times, at docmichelle@AOL.com. And I received a really fascinating email, and I will try to answer, and refer a lot of listeners to your book so they can, you know, continue on and get the answers they need. Can I read this question to you from Christy?
Sure.
This is great. Yeah. She said, hi, Annie. I'm a 30-year-old mom of an 8 and 11-year-old. My parents raised me as Catholic. My family does attend a Christian church every Sunday, but I'm very spiritual and open to teaching my children more spiritual concepts without the negative dogma that was pushed on me. Mm-hmm. What can I do to help my kids be more spiritual and not feel that I'm pushing them into a dogmatic religion? Interesting. Okay.
Yes. You know what? A lot of women that I work with wrestle with this, and some of them, some of them are in the Catholic Church, for example. I've got one who has been just with her family, and she's got three kids about Christy's age, and they've been trying other churches just with a real open mind and fun, not because there's any agenda, like we're leaving the Catholic Church. They might stay there, but you know what? Two Sundays a month, they might go to Unity Church, or they really, that has a little soul school for children. It's completely different. And then they go out to lunch and they discuss it afterwards. Over the summer, I'm honored to say this, they didn't go to any church and they just did the different activities and things in my book. So she's really open to kind of not needing to become a member somewhere else right away or make a definitive draw line in the sand, but just try some different things. And as far as forcing it down kids' throats, you know, mine were 4, 7, and 8 when we began the family discussions. Now they're 16, 15, and 12. I get the eye rolling some more now. I'm just myself within the family, and there's a lightness and a humor and a how about that and how I approach things. And that can become enough too. They're on their own path, and whatever they do, whether they become a physical therapist or a lawyer, of course, my grand hope would be that they're comfortable in their own skin, they're aware of the voice of their own soul, and that they have the capacity to offer soul to soul in whatever they do, because that's how they see others. other people, and that would really be enough. So I would say play with it without being too serious about should we leave the church, should we stay?
Right.
Just, you know, be a little bit looser, try some different things.
Yes, that's a great suggestion, Annie. And thank you so much, Christy, for emailing us on that. That's lovely. We really appreciate that. And I encourage you all to check out Annie's book. We're just about out of time. So what's the best way that listeners can get your book and find out more about you, Annie?
Oh, well, thank you. My site is Annie Burnside, Burnside, .com. And everything you'd ever, you know, book or whatever is on there. But I'm also, you know, I'm on Facebook quite frequently. I blog for the Chicago Tribune Media Company and for the Daily Love site.
Great.
And I have found it to be a tremendous vehicle to stay on people's radar and to be connected. Interestingly, it was different than I thought it would be. So friend me on Facebook if you want. You know, I love a two-way street. Nice. I'm very open to more soul sisters and brothers and friends in my life. So that would be a great way to stay connected too.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, listen, the archives will be up tomorrow, folks, in case you missed much of this interview. Right here on my webpage on LA Talk Radio, you can listen again and find out more about soul-to-soul parenting, how to be a better parent, many psychological concepts here which will help you out, folks. I'm not kidding you. Thanks so much again, Annie, for being such a wonderful guest. Annie Burnside, the author of Soul-to-Soul Parenting.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
Oh.
Enjoy your day, everybody.
Oh, you too. Pleasure for me, too. Take good care now.
Thank you. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. Again, like I said, it will be up here in the archives tomorrow with all the information, how you can contact Annie and learn how to be a better parent. A little more spiritual teachings, not airy-fairy stuff, just really practical, loving teachings, soulful teachings. All right, we're just about off the couch here, but you can stay. More great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and as I always say, do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be great for others, and that's the way it works, you see. Next week, another wonderful guest from an author about finding your happiness. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.